This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM, your nonprofit community radio station, online at prp.fm. And brought to you by KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Also brought to you by X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM, online at xray.fm. This is the Student Hour.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the Student Hour. My name is Zip, the Chief of Music.
Joel Susk, the Chief of Promotions.
And my name is Jose from the KBPS Student Staff.
We're going to be telling you about an up-and-coming concert, and specifically its opener.
So the opener for the upcoming concert is LaFay, who is an upcoming artist whose first album was made in 2021, and her most notable song being From the Start, that was made last year on September 8th.
So her latest album is called Bewitched, which also came out September 8th, and like Jose said, the most popular thing on that was From the Start. Her music is a nice mix between jazz and pop, you know, really something that gets you in the feels, that makes you feel relaxed, and the whole, like, story, the whole motion you're supposed to feel about the album and, like, how she sings is, like, feeling like a rush of emotions when you meet someone, so entranced by how they are that you just don't know how to deal with it, and that's kind of the whole, like, story the album tries to go for.
So, speaking of, what's your favorite song from that album?
You know what's going to be funny? Bewitched. That's actually my favorite song from the album was Bewitched.
Why specifically did you choose that song?
Well, first off, naming the album. Second, was it From the Start, so I didn't want to feel like, you know, like everyone else. And three, I just felt like it had such like a good, smooth tune to it that I could just like relax to it. Like, I'm a big fan of her work. I have like 17 songs and like added in my playlist.
Yeah. LaFay's opening for Misuki in her current tour. They'll be playing in the Moda Center on September 21st. It will be on a Saturday at 8 p.m. We have talked so much about LaFay and her song From the Start, mentioned by both of you guys, and we felt you should hear it. Let's take a listen.
Don't you notice how I get quiet when there's no one else around? Me and you and awkward silence, don't you dare look at me. Same, oh, the burning pain. Listening to you heart pump out some new soulmate. She's so perfect, blah blah blah. Oh, how I wish you'll wake up one day. Run to me, confess your love. At least just let me say that when I talk to you, oh, Cupid. What's a girl to do? Lying on my bed, staring into the blue. Unrequited, terrifying. Love is driving me a bit insane. Have to get this off my chest. I'm telling you today that when I talk to you, oh, Cupid walks right. Shoots an arrow through my heart, and I sound like a loon. But don't you feel it to confess? I loved you from the start. Confess, I loved you. Just thinking of you, I know.
This is Zip, the chief of music, Chilaho Susk, the chief of promotion, and Jose Montes from AM1450 KBPS. And thank you for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, X-Ray, KBOO, and PRP.
My name is Connor, and I'm reporting for the Student Hour. I'm joined by Dane, who is world-class, world-renowned bowler, of course.
Hello.
Hi. I know that I personally bowl very casually, but I know that you do a little bit of professional bowling.
I do.
Well, I was hoping you would tell me a little bit about that.
Of course.
Because I know there's been some very interesting events occurring recently. But wait... Let me ask you the question before you answer the question. I was wondering, what is like a professional game, not a professional game, but like a league game? What is that like? Like, you have a team. How is it structured?
So league games, specifically like at high school professional bowling, are in the Baker format, which means you have a team of five people, and then you have the first person playing the first frame, second, third, fourth, fifth, and then you repeat for the second half. So the first player plays the first frame and the fifth frame, second plays the second and the sixth, and then so on and so forth. But I would say the main difference between bowling competitively and bowling for fun, I started bowling like last year, is hooking the ball, which is when you have it curve to hit the pins. And the reason you want to hook it is because you want to get as many strikes as possible, because the strike is the most amount of points you can get in bowling. And when you're bowling straight, if you look, you want to hit between the first pin and then one of the pins to the sides of it. And that's like an inch about, maybe a little less if you're bowling straight. But if you curve it from the side, pins are sort of angled. There's space between them. So then suddenly it becomes like 6 inches of space, and you're six times as likely to get a strike.
So that's kind of like the first thing that you learn when you sign up for competitive bowling. How often do you guys practice, and for how long?
We practice once a week for 2 hours. I mean, ideally you want to practice as much as you can, but Kingpins has graciously given us free bowling. And we aren't going to ask for more than they're giving us because, you know, we don't need 5 years of free bowling. Shout out to Kingpins.
I would say that that's pretty rigorous compared to, like, all the practice that I get.
A bit.
You had a tournament recently.
We did. Last Sunday, actually.
Splendid. Yes, I heard all about it already, but I would ask you to recap for me.
Yeah, so basically what happened is we went there. The bowling tournament's a 9-hour tournament. It was in Gresham. It was the district tournament, and the boys team, we put in a boys team and a girls team. And the boys team played out of their minds for qualifiers. We bowled 150 average. To put that into perspective, the highest score you can get is 300, and that means out of all of our games, the average score was 150, which was insane. And we bowled a couple 200s, low 200s, but still 200s. And then it went down to elimination, and we start out fifth of five teams. We bowled our way up to third, and then second, and then ran out of fuel because this is, again, like 7-8 hours in to the bowling tournament. And then we plummeted to third and then plummeted to fifth, and boys team sadly did not qualify.
Damn.
However, girls team did qualify, so
good,
they're
going
to go on to state.
Well, that's fun to hear.
Yeah.
Is all of the tournaments that you've been in, are they all like kind of structured the same?
Yeah, basically. It's very interesting because in bowling, the lanes are greased. There's oil applied to them so that the ball can roll smoother. And then when you're curving the ball, that means that even if it has good spin and it's going to curve, if it's on oil, it's going to slide more before it starts curving, which makes it interesting. And in professional adult league, There's different types of oil patterns. There's hundreds of different ways to layer it onto the lane. And at the tournament, they had each lane be a different pattern and had every team switch every game so that everyone basically tried almost every oil pattern. That way, people couldn't just get used to an oil pattern and sort of game the system, which is very interesting.
I imagine that makes it a lot harder to bowl like a 300 game then.
Yes. At my level, it doesn't really make a difference. Of course, I can't really bowl 300 games, but it definitely makes it harder for professionals.
Well, thank you so much for meeting with me, Dane. Once again, this has been The Student Hour, powered by AM 1450, KBPS.
This is The Student Hour. Student Voices for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Now aired on Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM and PRP.FM, on KBOO 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM, and on X-Ray, KXRY 107.1 FM, 91.1 FM, and X-Ray.FM.
So apparently you can't stack plus cards when you're playing Uno. James, thoughts on this crazy idea that you can't stack plus cards?
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts on this. Okay, so Uno, you know, I think it's like a lot of people's just go to when they think of like the childhood card game. A lot of people go to Uno, but it's when you're a kid, you know, you kind of make up your own rules, you know, you're kind of doing your own thing. And I loved to stack. That was like the rule in my family. It was like an unspoken rule, you know. But I had very specific ways. And Joe, I know that you do it kind of differently.
Oh yeah.
You can only do a plus two and a plus two. Sometimes we do it where you can do a plus four and a plus four. Sometimes we wouldn't even do plus fours on plus fours. You just take it because it seemed a little excessive to do plus four in the
year. Yeah, and then someone's already drawing like 12 cards exactly. By the end of that. But, you know, I think when you start like crossing the twos with the fours, when you start stacking plus twos on top of plus fours and vice versa, that's when you go wrong.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking in my head for some reason, I thought you were for that, but maybe that was someone else I was thinking of.
No, that's a crazy way to play Uno. I'm sorry, but that's Uno came out in a tweet in 2019 basically saying, you can't stack the plus cards. And to that I say, whose deck of cards is this? You know, I bought them. I'm going to play it however I want, you know, and we're still going to stack. But of course, never the plus twos on the plus fours. You can, in my personal philosophy, you can only stack the plus twos on top of the plus twos and the fours on the fours. Now, another part of Uno, James, when you can't play, do you believe you should keep drawing until you can play, or do you just draw a card and then move on to the next person?
I always have just lived by the rule where you just draw one card to the next person, but I'm totally open to drawing multiple cards, except for sometimes it's just if the person who shuffled the deck, the dealer, did a bad job, you're out there picking up like 25 cards, and then it's like, well, what's even the point of the game?
Exactly. Yeah, and I feel like in the Unos I've played, you have the ability to swap hands with someone and give them just a boatload of cards, which definitely adds a fun and crazy element to the game. But when you have that rule where you have to keep drawing until you get a card you can play, then it gets a little crazy. And, you know, someone could just be massing up cards until they can swap hands with you. Now, James, are there any other house rules that you have around Uno that are really important to you?
I mean, I don't think that there's... I mean, really, it's just kind of the stacking, I think, has always been something. Although I know that... I had a family friend, I guess, and his family would play where they do the fours on the twos, which I just absolutely hated because it feels like that could actually go forever.
Crazy.
Like, that could go for legitimately forever because the likelihood that you start with a plus two and then everyone else has like probably like a plus two or like a plus four, and then someone plays a plus two, and then they get put a plus four down, and then suddenly you're picking up like 24 cards. It's just, it's insane.
Crazy.
It's like crazy. But I mean, I can't really think of any particular house rules that I had that I was really a stickler for, you know?
Now, let me tell you how I play Uno.
All right, let's go ahead.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
I remember this.
I've told you about this before. So basically, you play multiple hands of Uno. So the game's not over when you're done. The game's not over when you run out of cards. It's just one hand in the larger game. You know, once someone runs out of cards, once they get to zero, everyone takes the cards they have and they count them up. So if you had a red seven in there, that's worth 7 points. But if you have a skip or a reverse or a plus two, now that's worth 20 points. And if you have any wild card, any blank, any plus four, or any wild is worth 50. And you add all those points together. And whoever has the lowest score of all the points at the end of multiple hands is the real winner. Because it forces you to play Uno in a different way, where you're thinking not about winning one specific round, but winning all the rounds in the game, where you have to think long term about how many points you're getting. Because especially when you have swap hands cards and everything, you know, you could just be trying to go for getting zero cards and winning that way. But that also makes you a big target. So when you play with rounds, with points, sometimes the best strategy is to just try to minimize your losses. To try to, you know, not go for zero, but, you know, maybe stick around, you know, 10, 20 points. But, you know, that's how I play it. That's how I do it. Now, James, when I explained this to him, he was like, you are crazy.
Absolute just blasphemy. I mean, honestly, okay, you're explaining it and it makes more sense to me now, but I feel like at that point, can you even call it Uno? It's like a whole different game, you know?
Yep.
I feel like it relates closer more to like an actual card game that you play with just like a regular pack of cards than the family fun Uno game that I know and love, you know? I feel like it's you're treading into some dangerous waters. You're on a very thin line
between, on a slippery slope
between Uno and just like a regular card game. You know, I don't know if it's my jam. But I just can't be.
It goes back to the versatility of Uno, because you can play it as a fun, and you know that's why I loved Uno, is that, you know, when you wanted just a real quick, maybe like 5 minute lighthearted Uno game, you just play it like normal. But when it's a family thing, the way I play it with my family, we just, you know, we go crazy on that with the points and everything, because we have to do it over multiple hands and it gets us thinking. And it's a fun way to, you know, spend a good maybe hour or so with your family, with your friends.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's just the only reason it's not for me is because when I'm playing it, I'm always playing it with just the idea of like one simple goal. And I don't want to be thinking of like rounds ahead, you know? I'm on a one track mindset. I'm just like, I want to finish my hand and then I win or I don't and I lose. And that's fine. Yeah,
a pretty binary way to look at it, but whatever game,
sounds almost like an insult there.
Whichever way you play it, you know, it's a great game, and there's a lot of different variations. Now, one of my favorite Uno decks is Nonpartisan Uno, where they took out the red cards and the blue cards and replaced them with orange cards and purple cards. It's the exact same game, they just changed the colors, and I'm all for it. I love the purple cards.
Purple does sound like a very interesting color to have in there. Very fun, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
kind of switch it up a little bit.
It doesn't change anything. It just looks nicer, right, though, you know?
I remember when I was a kid, I had this H2O Uno cards.
Oh, those.
Yeah, those were just like basically the regular Uno cards, except for they were just plastic.
Yeah.
And they were awesome. Except for I remember this kid. Oh, what was his name? Elliot. He stole my pack of H2O Uno cards on the bus to this like this little field trip we were going to, and I was so upset because I couldn't find them. And then like a year later, he gave them back to me. They're all crumpled and torn.
Oh,
worst day of my life.
That's so mean. That's so mean. You know what's also mean?
What?
Forcing your family to play Uno Flip, where there's
Flip.
There's different versions of cards on each side, and there's cards you play to flip everyone's hand. And when they flip, you have to flip them over to the other side. You have to flip the discard, the draw pile, everything. My family hates it because it goes way too fast for them.
Have you seen like the Uno where you're supposed to, I think what you do is, it's got like almost like a, like imagine those automated casino dealer, like shufflers, you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like that, where it just shoots out the cards at random and then you hit a little button whenever you're supposed to get a new card. It's really crazy. I've never actually played it, but I always see it at Goodwill, so maybe that's a testament to how bad the game is if it's always at Goodwill. But
yeah, I've seen a lot of those before. It just seems like a way to automate the automate the shuffling. But yeah, so thanks for joining us, James. Thanks for indulging in my long-winded explanation of the proper way to play Uno.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully y'all learned something today. But yeah, let us know. Do you stack your cards? What's the best way that you think is to play Uno? Give us a call, 503-916-5101. That's the KBPS listener voicemail line. The bell just went off here at Benson High School, so we're going to go to our next class. Thanks for tuning in. This is KBPS in Portland.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at xray.fm. Thank you for listening.
Hello, this is AM 1450. Today I'm going to interview Jake Patterson, my radio teacher, about the snowstorm and how it affected him throughout these week and a half.
Yeah, been a heck of a snowy, icy week, Travis. Thanks for having me. Great to talk with you.
So, first question, how did the storm affect you personally?
Yeah, I had two significant events happen to me during this last snow and ice storm of 2024 in January in Portland. On the very first night that the cold hit us on Friday, we decided to go down to a little concert at the Crystal Ballroom. And we were watching the weather forecast really closely, and the roads were clear. There was no snow. There was no ice. It was just really cold, so we figured it would be just fine. And we got down there, had a great time. But leaving at 10:30, the locks on the little pickup truck were so cold, they were frozen shut. And we were literally frozen out, locked out of the truck. And I don't have any fancy, you know, it's an old vehicle. It's not fancy. There's no power locks. There's no remote battery control. There's nothing like that. It's just an old-fashioned key goes in the hole. You turn it, and it opens. And it wouldn't do it because it was so cold. It's the first time in my life that has ever happened to me, and it was scary. Because we were standing there. We're freezing. The wind is hitting. The wind chill was in the teens. And I knew that we couldn't be outside in that condition for very long without trouble. So I tried, couldn't get it. We went back inside the restaurant, pulled out my insurance card, called the AAA roadside assistance folks. And then while we were sitting there, I kind of had an idea. So what if I just heated up my key? And because I know it's frozen shut. So we got a boiling hot cup of water from the folks at the McMinimins right there. And I soaked the key in the hot water, warmed up the key, and then dumped the rest of the hot water on the lock and was able to warm it up enough. And we got out of there, got home safely. The other thing that happened was we had some big tree limbs fall down in our backyard, land on a little fence. But seeing what a lot of other people had to deal with, I am very thankful and grateful that that's all we had to deal with.
What did you do to stay warm? Did you have like power?
We lost power one of the nights. I can't remember what night it was. I want to say it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. But we got so lucky on the timing because the power went out right about 9 o'clock at night. And we said, well, man, good time to go to bed. So we went to bed and we bundled up, threw a couple extra blankets on and, you know, put extra long johns on and extra PJs and just bundled up. And it got cold. But we woke up, and by the time we woke up the next morning, 7-8 o'clock, the power was back on. So thankfully, we're one of the fortunate ones that didn't lose power, didn't lose heat very much.
Did anything happen to your house? Because I've heard a lot of stories where trees were falling on people's houses, people had to call insurance companies. Insurance companies are blowing up, by the way. Some people are being put on hold for hours at a time just to say, hey, this is to an act of God from their tree falling onto their house?
Yeah, thankfully, no. Happy to say no. Not a lot of emergencies or negative impacts for the house. I was concerned about the pipes, like freezing and busting that we hear a lot about. And so I was, every so many hours, I would go around and just turn the faucets on. just for a minute and keep that water rolling and flowing through there, because I know that flowing water isn't going to freeze. It's only when it's staying stagnant in one place, not moving, that's when it's going to freeze. So the whole thing about, let your pipes drip or let your faucets drip, I kind of did that. And then just yesterday, before we came back to school, I got down on my hands and knees and crawled around in the crawl space underneath the house and put eyes on all the pipes just to make sure that nothing blew up. And thankfully, we're doing okay.
Let's say if you were in that situation where, let's say a tree landed on a line, would there be any more, things you could have done to be more prepared for like this kind of ice storm again?
Yeah, well, just following all the safety, tips that are shared by the experts that we know so well, tragically, we saw that really sad case of the people who died when they got trapped by the downed power lines and they tried to get out of their vehicle and they got electrocuted and they died. And the little baby in the car survived. And that is a good time for us to remind ourselves that if a power line comes down on our vehicle, sometimes the safest place for us is to stay inside the vehicle, because the rubber of your tires acts as like an electricity brake, and it doesn't create a full circuit. So if you're ever in a down power line that falls on your car, sometimes the safest thing to do is to stay inside the car, call 911 and wait for emergency crews to help and remove the cabling. Then you can step outside of the car and be safe.
Well, thank you, Jacob, for interviewing. This was the amazing story from you and more things I need to learn in the future,
But thank you for taking the time to talk, Travis. Always great to talk with you.
You are listening to The Student Hour, powered by KBPS AM 1450. My name's Dane, and today I'm going to be interviewing my friend, Connor.
What up?
So, Connor, do you ever find yourself self-teaching?
Yes, actually. There's a lot of classes that I don't find very learning.
What's your process for learning things on your own?
Well, depending on the subject, there's a lot of different resources that you can use to teach yourself things. YouTube is helpful, depending on, obviously, who you're learning from. Like, you're not going to learn that much if you like scrolling YouTube shorts. For certain subjects, there's good channels. I teach myself how to do math on the internet. And a couple of places that I've learned to look for math help is there's a channel called the Organic Chemistry Tutor. So they obviously started doing tutoring for organic chemistry, but they also have a lot of videos about calculus and about algebra, etc. So they have a wide range of things.
Yeah, are there any other sites other than YouTube or any other YouTubers that you watch?
Well, one way that is really easy to learn is through the courses that are on Khan Academy.
What's Khan Academy, for those who don't know?
So it's basically, there's this free website. It's free. You don't have to pay any money for this resource. And it was basically made by this guy, Sal Khan, who decided, well, he was tutoring his cousins and then realized that through all of the tutoring lessons that he had recorded for them, he basically had the start of a library of tutoring lessons, and he basically fleshed out that library into what is now Khan Academy, which is just a collection of videos that are instructional in teaching how to do math, all the way from pre-kindergarten to up through multivariable calculus. There's math, and then I don't know how much of the other courses he teaches. There's probably other instructors for the science courses and the arts courses, but there's art and science courses on Khan Academy as well. And along with the videos that he
produces. There's also like an interface. There's practice problems, and then you enter the answers, and it tells you if you got it right or not, so that you can kind of figure out if you're proficient in skills. And so that's a thing that I use a lot, because it's very helpful, especially when I don't know exactly where to go from where I am at currently. It's like being in a classroom, except it's way more flexible, in my opinion.
You mentioned that YouTube had a wide variety of content that you could get and learn from. Are there any other YouTubers that you would recommend other than the Organic Chemist or Organic Chemistry Tutor?
Let's see. So for math, that's about it that I found or that I remember. For biology, I really like the Amoeba Sisters, just because they're fun, but they also are like, they have a lot of lessons about like genetics and stuff, and those are all the ones that I can that have like actually made an impression on me, clearly, because those are all the ones that I remember
off the top of your head.
Yes.
How would you summarize this conversation we've had? Like, just a couple of sentences.
I would say that even if you can't seem to learn well in a classroom setting, or if you find that the things that your teacher is teaching you feel very similar to the things that you were taught last year and the year before that, that's not a reason to give up hope in learning. You can always teach yourself through the internet. It's probably one of the easiest times in history to teach yourself, because there's so much available on the internet for free.
All right, this has been Dane and Connor on the Student Hour, powered by AM 1450, KBPS, Portland.
You're listening to the Student Hour, student voices from Portland, for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Please support our partners at PRP.FM, KBOO.FM, and X-Ray.FM.
All right, hello. I am here with
Meriwether.
Hello.
To talk about clowning. Yeah. I'm City clowning, and then more clowning. I need to say clowning a little bit less. So, what made you interested in being a clown?
Well, I've always had, like, a fascination with bright and colorful things. I love, like, spring and summer, because there's all those bright colors, and And I've always been a bit of an oddball, and a bit of a weirdo, and a bit of a jokester, prankster, you know. So I thought, you know, this would be perfect for me. Just, I've been wanting to be a clown for such a long time, because it seems so fun, and I just really get to be myself.
So, Rose City Clowns. Can you tell us some more about Rose Festival Clowns? Why did I say Rose City? The official clowns of the city of Portland. Which they are, but also they're not. Anyways, can you tell us more about the Rose Festival Clowns?
So the Rose Festival Clowns, you apply on the Rose Festival website, then there's an interview process, and when you get where you have to go in, you have to do a little, like, you talk about some stuff, and then what I did, what everyone has to do is I have to bring something to show, like, a talent that they have. I had a little ribbon, twirly ribbon thing that I was twirling around. It was pretty fun. The entry to the Rose Festival Clowns is pretty easy. What we do is we just go to a bunch of, like, we go to these parades, the Rose Festival parades, like, there's the, like, St. John's Parade, there's the Grand Floral Parade, there's a Junior Rose Parade. I got a day off of school to go to the Junior Rose Parade. That was pretty fun. There's the Starlight Parade. There's the opening of City Fair. You get to go to the opening of City Fair, and you get, like, a free wristband. You get to go on a bunch of rides. You get like, a little Rose Festival pin. It's really fun. If you're able to go through all the process of, like, the interviewing, and in April there is a workshop. So you heard about, have you ever heard of Clown College?
Yeah, I think we've talked about Clown College a little bit before.
Yeah, Clown College is a real thing. It is a real thing where you can get a degree and to be a clown. It's not from what I've researched, it's not as long as like a typical college. Probably less expensive too. But for the Rose Festival clowns, there's like a smaller sort of version of that where it's like
Clown High School,
basically. It was 2 days. First day, we learned about what different types of clowns, what each clown does, we learned about how to like apply some of the makeup, and we picked out costumes and stuff. It was real fun. Second day, we put on a little show for everyone because this was at like a senior center, so it was in front of a bunch of old people. It was very fun.
How was clowning for the Rose Festival?
Oh, it was so fun. Basically, I'd have to get up, you know, put on my clown makeup before we get to the event. That's a very important rule. Very important rule is generally you have to put on the clown makeup and then drive to the event. And when you get there, it's a lot of hurry up and wait, as it is with like a lot of like festivals or like a lot of like events. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. You have to get there as soon and as quick as you can, and then you've got to wait for the event to start. And when you're like walking through like the actual parades, it's a lot of fun. You get to like wave at people. You're not allowed to interact with the people in that are sitting like on the streets and stuff because of the like invisible pink line. So it's the invisible pink line that you can't cross on in a parade. So like no like high-fiving people, no hugging random people. You know, if they want to like take a picture of you, they can. If you want to wave at them, you can, but you can't like directly touch them. It's for safety reasons. You go through the parade. They're like usually like a mile, a few miles long. Usually take around an hour long each parade, and except for the Starlight, which I believe is the longest. I might be wrong. Then when you're done with the parade, the clowns like, you know, have a little like wrap up things, and you get to go home, and take off all the makeup. It's real fun. It's really fun.
I think the last parade I actually was to was in New York, and they threw candy at us, so that was fun. So after all your fun experience and stuff, here's the question that all our listeners will probably want to know. Will you clown again?
Absolutely. This is literally my dream. This has been my dream job. Like, you don't get paid to be a Rose Festival clown, but, like, at least not with money. You get paid with smiles and laughter and enjoying yourself, and also with a free pass to go to the first day of City Fair, which is worth it. And there's a lot of fun to be had, and it's great volunteer work as well, because you're volunteering and you're serving the community in a beautiful and unique and wonderful way that I think, you know, not enough people like really know about the Rose Festival clowns unless they see them in like the actual, in the parades. They are like, oh, haha, clowns, look at that. But like, being a clown is so much more than just, you know, having a silly little costume and a silly little, like, no red nose and all that stuff. I don't want to make it sound like I'm, like, exaggerating, but being a clown is kind of a lifestyle. Like, it's, you have to have the right attitude to be a clown. I believe is that anyone can be a clown with a red nose and the right attitude. You want to make others laugh and make others happy and, you know, help spread joy and positivity. And it's such like a positive, it's such a positive message that I believe anyone could like relate to or like understand. Last year, it was so much fun doing all of the really fun little clown parades and meeting like a community of like people who thought who had like similar sort of goals with clowning. And I had made a friend. I made a really good friend. Her name is Skippy. Her clown name is Skippy. And this year, I get to be a clown again, because once you're a clown, you're always a clown, and you're invited to next year's clowning events too. And I'm just really, really excited for what the next year has to offer, because, you know, there's just so much fun to be had with the Rose Festival clowns and with clowning in general.
Great. Thank you, Meriwether.
Yeah, thank you.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at x-ray.fm. Thank you for listening.
Right.
Oh, my name is Joe.
Yes, I'm here with Joe
Fish.
Joe Fish.
That's me. That's my name.
How many times has someone made a Go Fish joke with your name?
I think once or twice.
I'd assume that would be a really popular joke. Okay, so we're both seniors. We're gonna go off to do whatever after. Why is there a Squidward? I just noticed
there's a Squidward. There's a table marker Squidward. Anyway.
Let's not get distracted. So, we're both seniors. We have plans for after high school, I'm assuming. What are your, like, after high school plans?
Well, I don't have it super set in stone right now, even though I probably should, but I'm trying to apply to some community colleges to see if I can get those 2 free years, and if I don't, then I'll have those extra credits I can use to get into a more expensive college. Maybe we'll see what happens. Might not wind up doing that, and possibly save some money that way.
Yeah, the college applications, they're pretty freaking. They can be. They're easy to do, but also, like, you know.
Yeah, I think I've done like 3 of them, and then one of them that said they're supposed to come back, get back to me in 1 or 2 business days, hasn't talked to me yet. But I also got a name change kind of recently, so that might actually be the reason. So I probably need to send them an email, but I can't send them an email. I have to use the weird message thing through their website, and I haven't been able to do it because it's been closed. Because the entire city's been frozen over for a week.
God. Saddles.
There's that. And I also did the FAFSA, and I got that set up. And then it's been processing for a couple weeks. It's probably because everyone's doing it, but, like, this kind of sucks, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. The constant emails from, like, 50 million different colleges saying, hey, do you want to apply?
Who's not really close to this line of work, want to apply to our tech college?
Yeah.
Come to our college where we have like science labs and stuff. No hate to science. I love science. Mm-hmm. I do not do science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I know what a centrifuge is, but that's where my knowledge ends. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Want to know how I know that those emails are automated? My name's Meriwether, and I keep getting emails from Lewis and Clark College, and they do not acknowledge it whatsoever.
Oh, well, what do they have instead?
No, they just give me the normal, like, template email. It would have added just a little, if they just added a little something, I would have applied. I don't care what their college is about, I would have applied.
I keep getting college application with the wrong name, even though I've had it changed for a while, and they shouldn't have the old one. I don't think they should have the old one. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really care mm-hmm. about it that much, but I don't know how they got it.
And so. Yeah. What do you want to go to college for? Like, what do you want to do for majors?
Oh, sorry, that's Jake. Jacob talking about the internet. Mm-hmm. Why was the internet through the phone? Anyways, so not to get too far off topic, I'm not sure exactly what I want to major for. I'm thinking of still doing radio. I don't think there's actually a major in the place I was looking at, but it was a thing that I can do, so I might try doing I might do photography.
Mm-hmm.
Or other sound or visual arts kind of area. And then I might actually choose something else entirely, pretty much to just like give me a thing to make the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not super sure right now, but I'm not completely clueless. I have a kind of a general idea.
Yeah. And you know, we'll have to make sure that we finish off this year pretty strongly, right?
Yeah, I need to use the flex time.
Yeah.
It's not for that much, but I need to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might use it for doing like more extra stuff for this class, but we'll see what happens.
Well, doesn't it kind of feel like these past 4 years, like we're seniors, it feels like these past 4 years have just flew by.
Yeah, I don't really think that first year of mostly asynchronous stuff really helped with that, because it just didn't feel like a whole year. I managed to get super lucky and was one of the couple people who were a couple, but I know that not everyone got to come in and do some in-person stuff at the, because it was like the end of the year.
Yeah.
And
with a school, with our school, it was so hands-on. It's like you lose that.
Yeah, it was really stupid that they actually had you choose what your major was after that, because I did manufacturing automotive and actually loved it. Can't go back. But if I could go back, I'd probably still do this. Not saying I don't like this. I was like, oh man, I wish I did that a little bit later, where I had those majors first. Just kind of like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh well. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never intended to do radio. I intended to do digital media. But then my mom said, well, you're already an artist. You're learning all this stuff already. Why don't you just do radio so you can get a unique like experience? And I thought, you know what, that has some logic to it. Yeah,
I was also originally going to do digital media, but then I actually was like, oh no, I'm probably just gonna have a job like doing like advertising. I don't know if I can handle that, so I changed my mind to the place where I do advertisements, but it's sound instead.
Yeah. What, like, do you have any like big worries for like college?
As of most things, doing things are scary, especially new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably have to like go somewhere I've never been and be with people I've never met before.
Mm. Yeah, and what do you have, like hopes and dreams for college and the life after that?
I love hoping and I love dreaming.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Well, I don't really know, so I don't have really better. I don't really have a better thing to say than I hope and dream that it goes well. I don't have as much. I don't look up to like how college is, because my one main thing that I was like that I remember about it is legitimately Gilmore Girls. I have no opinion of college. I don't know. I'm not trying to like hype myself up, because I know if I hype myself up, I'll be disappointed.
Yeah, and well, are you happy? Are you happy to leave high school finally after 4 years? You're gonna miss some stuff, you know.
This is not a slight on any of my teachers that I've had. Y'all are wonderful, but I cannot wait for high school to be over. I don't want to be here anymore.
Preach. Honestly, yes.
Great time. Overall, I would like learning is fun and all that stuff, but I would also like to be doing something else.
Exactly.
No harm meant. I love my classes. I love radio class. I love all of my classes. I would like to be doing that. Sorry.
Yeah, that's gonna be. Yep.
Like, cannot wait to get out into the world and do things.
Yeah.
Whoever says high school is the best years of your life is lying.
Yeah. I know something I'm gonna miss. I'm gonna miss Jacob. He's such a good teacher, you know.
Yeah, I'm. Just to say something different from you, I'm probably gonna miss all this expensive equipment.
Oh yeah, you're right. But you know, you might have other expensive equipment that at whatever college, you know.
Yeah, you never know. But then also, like, I'm kind of broke. At least right now, I need to.
Same. I have like $5 to my name. I have $10 in my checking account, and.
I have more money than you.
Oh, damn.
I have money saved. Not that much. Probably isn't enough for like books, but I have some amount of money.
Yeah. Well, it's. But you know, it's. We're always learning. Whether you like it or not.
Yep, you're always learning, and that's a threat.
Well, you know, thanks for talking with me. This was
yeah,
good.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Hello, listeners. My name is Owen Trout from AM1450 KBPS. Today, I'm going to be talking about which is better, Blockbuster or Netflix. Blockbuster is an American video rental store chain founded on October 19, 1985 by David Cook in Dallas, Texas, a basic standalone mom-and-pop home video rental shop, but later grew into a national store chain featuring video game rentals, DVD by mail, streaming, video on demand, and cinema theater. They sold any VHS tape you were looking for, scary movies, cartoons, action, etc. And when you went to rent a movie for two or a few days, they even had candy, popcorn, and drinks for you to buy, so it made you feel like you were in an actual movie theater. What caused Blockbuster to cease, you may ask? It did not adapt well to the marketing conditions, reported customer service that was very poor on their part, high rental fees, and the inability to understand how to adapt to client preferences. By early 2014, Blockbuster lost all of its corporate-owned stores. But however, in early March of 2023, there was a comment on somebody's Twitter post for Blockbuster, and they said, "New business idea, we're going to come back as a bank and use VHS tapes and DVDs as currency. Time to go visit your mom." Unfortunately, this tweet was just a joke. But in North America, there is only one Blockbuster up and running. Just one. And that is surprising to see that there's only one still up and running to this day. Now for Netflix. It's an American video subscription on-demand streaming service founded in Scotts Valley, California on August 29th, 1997. It allows a catalog of videos, TV shows, cartoons, animes, documentaries, and original content. It can be accessed by TV, smartphone, Samsung or iOS, tablets, laptop, and any gaming consoles, except Nintendo Switch, and can be accessed through Xbox and PlayStation. In 2007, Netflix made the bold announcement that it would add the ability for subscribers to stream TV shows and movies directly to their PCs
in addition to this DVD by mail rental program. Today, in the year 2024, Netflix is still readily available in many households. Here are some interesting facts. Blockbuster was at its peak around 2004 because they employed 84,300 people worldwide and operated 9,094 stores. Also, Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix for $50 million in 2000, but they laughed them out of the room. As of today, that is a $150 billion mistake. Again, my name is Antrell from AM1450 KBPS. Thank you for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, KBOO, and X-Ray.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more info, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart, KBOO Community Radio. Support KBOO online at kbu.fm and X-Ray. Support X-Ray online at x-ray.fm. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is produced by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station online at prp.fm, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm, and X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM online at x-ray.fm. And thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. That's kbps.am.